Blog Talk Radio.
I cast you out! Unclean spirit!
Shut up, you
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ! It is he who commands you! He who flung you! Prince of heaven! To the depths of hell!
Fuck him!
Be gone!
Fuck him!
I'm a creature of God! Be gone! In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Your mother sucks cocks in hell.
Never said that I didn't have any balls, folks, because here we are, and we're going to talk to some spirits tonight. But let's get to the news. First of all, in the Reverend's Professional Wrestling News, Fright Night 2011 just finished for NWA Anarchy in Cornelia, Georgia. And it was my team, the Hate Junkies and the Angel of Death, Azrael, NWA Anarchy Heavyweight Champion, who, yes, we did not gain what you would call a victory, you of the simple-minded variety, but with the blood I saw on my hands when it was over, we certainly felt like the victors. Urban Assault Squad and Chemo, you know this is about so much more than dollars and cents at this point, so you can take your purse winnings from the War Games because you're going to be spending every cent of it on that hospital trip you took. Chemo seriously injured. Hear a lot of crying and whining about that. Boo-hoo, I say. Get yourself a tissue and cry me a river because I don't want to hear it. Chemo, you're done. Never shows his face again. Azrael broke his back. And the Urban Assault Squad, we handcuffed him to the cage and made him watch. Oh, what a glorious night. And the festivities have just continued from that moment on. NWA Anarchy returns November the 12th to the NWA Arena in Cornelia, Georgia. The Southern Championship Wrestling, November the 4th. In Blue Ridge, Georgia, at Fannin County High School. That's this Saturday night, 7 o'clock p.m. I will be there reunited for one night only with my old partner in crime, the Temptation, Sean Tempers. And we've got NWA Chattanooga returning for the one-year anniversary spectacular, November the 18th, 8 o'clock p.m., Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, at Soddy Daisy Middle School. I will be in the corner of the Deadly Sin 7 as he goes after the Strong Style Psycho Tank for the NWA Southeastern Heavyweight Championship. On to the music news. We had spoken, if you'd followed the Midnight Black Mass before we moved to the Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network, at length we had spoken about the retirement of Judas Priest announced for this current ongoing Epitaph tour. And was very sad about that, and I urged everyone to get out and see Priest if you can get the chance, and still do. But good news, there has been word coming out of the camp that they are so happy with the replacement for K.K. Downing, young Mr. Richie Faulkner, as a young guitar virtuoso, that they will not be retiring. They are reneging on that. They're going to go record another album, and while they may not play as many dates, let's face it, they haven't been playing a lot in recent years anyway. So they're going to keep a limited schedule, but you'll still be able to catch Judas Priest, and that is a good thing for all fans of the Devil's music. Megadeth's new album, 13, entitled, comes out tomorrow, November the 1st, a big release. Also, new releases coming by Brazilian band Crisian, punk favorite Sick of It All, or hardcore, as some would say, and hair metal, what we call neo-hair metal, I suppose, Steel Panther. All will have new releases coming out tomorrow. If you're a metal fan, get out to the record store or get on your iTunes and make that purchase. Into the realm of comic books, here we often review the fine art that is stories with visualizations that we call graphic novels or comic books. If you're too embarrassed to say graphic, or if you're too embarrassed to say comic book, you can call them a graphic novel. That's what I meant to say. Recently, of course, The Walking Dead, which is going to be a big theme of the show tonight. It's a tremendous media franchise that spawned off of a little black and white comic written by a guy named Robert Kirkman at Image Comics, and it's one of the best ongoing comic books still in the realm of literature, but they've actually released a companion piece that is not a comic. It is in full novel form, written by Robert Kirkman as well, called Rise of the Governor. And let me tell you, fans, that is a must-read book if you're a fan of the Walking Dead franchise. Really takes you in immense detail to that world. And as much as I love the comics, honestly, that they don't seem to be able to do just because they're so descriptive. You know, there's only so much you can get out of pictures and dialogue, and a lot of that allows you to create the picture in your mind, of course. But when a good author just gets to write, that's just as good. I won't say it's better because the experience is equally achieving to my soul. But fantastic book. You got to pick up Rise of the Governor. Television programs you need to be looking out for right now. FX Network, Sons of Anarchy. Whoa, is it heating up in that kitchen as the infighting and the Sons may be about to crumble. I don't know. I'm going to leave it at that. Dexter still ongoing on the Showtime Network about the serial killer turned rogue who only punishes the wicked that the system cannot. And yet another great season been ongoing. And then The Walking Dead, which we're going to talk a whole lot more about on AMC Network later with our special guest, Wendy Fifi Barlow. And right now, just real quick, before we bring on the Muji Movie Minute, I want to talk about a little portion of the show we're going to call the Rev's Rant. It's where you lucky people get to hear me bitch about something, as if there isn't enough people bitching on the internet. Guess what? I'm here to bring you just a little more bitching. Just a healthy, healthy another dose of it. My rant is about fans of comic books versus television and movies translations. You know, Marvel's come out with a lot of great movies lately. You know, last few years have been blockbusters, and a lot of the purist fans, you know, you have your mixed camps where they really, if they're not recreating the source material panel by panel, then they seem to be very upset by it. And that's cool. I have a lot of very good friends that feel that way, but I just don't quite understand it. So it may be later in another episode someone can enlighten me from that point of view, whom I respect. But I don't want a comic to be the same thing as a television show or a movie. I want them to capture the essence of it, as much as that's a cliche term. I want them to be able to understand it, but it's okay if you change some things, as long as you get the meat and potatoes right. I've already read the comic. I don't need to see a panel for panel by remake. I love like things like The Walking Dead are doing. Surprise me. Surprise me with this. Make me want to view this, not in anticipation of what I know is going to happen, but surprise me in a good way. And certainly there are mediums that don't do that. There have been some very piss-poor translations of source material, but the majority have been fairly good, and I just don't understand a lot of the hate that goes towards these other medias. So that's a brief touch on the Rev's Rant for this week. We'll get more in depth in future episodes. We got a jam-packed edition of the show, so we're going to get right to the next guest, fans. Going to delve into the realm of horror films. Very apropos, because it's Halloween. And welcome, folks, to the show who scoured the basement of the compound for the greatest in horror cinema, and sometimes the worst. My best friend since birth, the one and only great Muji. Welcome to the show, my brother, and a happy Halloween.
Yes, Lou, a happy Halloween to yourself. I think we need something new besides just happy Halloween, because, you know, to us, Halloween's like, it's better than Christmas or your birthday or anything. So we really need a new term to celebrate just how awesome that it is.
We'll get to work on that. The Brain Trust at the Midnight Black Mass. By next year's Halloween, we will have a new phrase circulating in pop culture. We promise you that. Well, of course, we watched a metric shit ton of Halloween-related material in horror films, television, etc. We have some source picks, some choice picks here that you have uncovered. What do you have for us, Great Mooj?
All right, we got three we're going to talk about this week. We've got Suspiria, we've got Halloween 3, and House of the Devil. I'll go ahead and get started with a couple of the shorter ones. We'll go with Suspiria first. It's one of my favorite of the Italian horror movies. It's from 1977, directed by Dario Argento. It's widely considered like his best movie. He directed tons and tons of horror movies. It's your standard Argento movie, just really well done. If you watch a lot of his movies, the usual plots are there's an American who's traveled to Europe for something, and they find something evil there. The basic gimmick of the movie is there's a chick played by Jessica Harper, who was in The Evictors that we talked about not too long ago, who's done a really good job in both movies. She goes to Germany to be in a ballet academy. When she first arrives, she sees a young girl running from the academy, and the whole movie, basically, she's investigating kind of all the strange things that are happening there, and she starts, like, tying things together, like what she's seen, and by the end of it, she uncovers that the place is being run by a covenant of witches, and of course, she has to stop them.
I really enjoyed Suspiria myself. It's been a long talked about classic. I'd never seen it up until this point. So a real treat to always get to see something that is considered an all-time great film for the first time. And I really enjoyed the atmosphere. It does have, of course, your standard Argento Italian to American translation where there's a lot of bad voice dubs. But, of course, the main actress was all delivering her own original lines. So, it still came over well. That's actually a part of the charm to those movies, if you ask me. I love the way they use lighting and mood to set the tale. Just fantastic. What was the rating on this classic?
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that, too. That's Argento. He tells the story more not through the dialogue, but through definitely the way he lights. Like, something bad's about to happen. Somebody enters into a room that's, kind of totally, lit and red and stuff like that. Oh, this one, I like it a lot. I gave it a 78% well done. I think it's, it's really good. It's affected a lot of other movies, too, but it's, probably somewhere in my top 10 to 15 of my favorites. I gave it 78%.
There you have it, folks. And that is the Muji Movie Meter on the Muji Movie Minute. Say that 15 times fast, punks. But that is our metric system for judging the quality of a horror film. We're going to try to bash things as little as possible. It's not what we're about here, even though we're doing the devil's work. We're here to give you the best in art and entertainment. And so that's the Muji Movie Meter, and 78% well done is huge. What was next?
Next is House of the Devil. House of the Devil is from 2009. It's a newer one. You can check it out. It's on Netflix right now. It's directed by a guy named Ty West, who also did Cabin Fever 2, which is a movie that we watched and enjoyed for different reasons, but it was another entertaining flick he made. The basic deal on it is there's a girl in college, and it's set in the 80s. They do a really good job of, creating an atmosphere of being in the 80s. There's a chick who's in college who's broke, has a crappy roommate, and she wants to move out to her own place, doesn't have any money, so she takes a babysitting job. When she gets to the babysitting job, she finds out that it's super sketchy and there's all sorts of crazy stuff going on. Instead of babysitting a kid, she finds out she's supposed to be watching an old lady, but she doesn't actually meet the person. She's just supposed to be sitting around in case the old lady has an emergency. She's supposed to, help her out. And then when she's there, of course, she starts investigating, starts finding all sorts of crazy stuff in the house. And as it turns out, she's actually been selected by this family who is, they never come out and say, but it's, she's supposed to be birthing like either the devil's baby or a demonic baby, something like that, and that's why she's there. I thought it was really, really good. I thought it was crazy that it didn't get any sort of wide play. I thought it was definitely good enough to be released nationally in the theater. But it ended up being a Netflix classic, but I really liked it. It was a good modern take on, the devil coming after somebody. They did everybody in the movie. Everybody acted really well. The guy, the father of the household that she goes to babysit, the one that picks her to babysit, is played by Tom Noonan, and he is super, super sketchy in it, really good. He's been in a whole bunch of stuff. If you live in the Grant household, then you remember him as the Ripper in Last Action Hero, but he does good. They set an awesome, awesome tone in the movie. The way they film it and everything, they're really authentic to the 80s. I mean, she's, listening to a Walkman. Everything is, looks like the 80s and everything. They really set the mood really well. The way they shot it, it looks like they probably used real film because it's got that old kind of edgy look. And then the movie just does good. At first, things, it's one of those movies from right off the bat, you can tell, even though nothing sketchy is happening, it's a little bit sketchy. And then about 15 or 20 minutes into the movie is when her roommate drops her off at this house, and her roommate drives off, and her roommate stops her car to light a cigarette. This guy walks up to her, just you know, randomly out on the road and starts helping her out and then just shoots her in the head and you don't see it coming at all. And it's like, from that moment, you know it's on. And it stays really good from that moment on.
Yeah, extremely powerful scene just to take you on the roller coaster downhill ride where it takes your breath just to move forward in the movie. It was a fantastic newer film. What did you give the rating on it?
Yeah, The House of the Devil, I went with 70% well done. I thought it was really good.
There you go. And then running out of time, we've got our seance coming up here. And then our special guest, Fifi the maid, or Wendy Barlow the actress, however you know her, she will be joining us to discuss her career at length. But the final movie we watched was a true classic, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Halloween 3, which is a crazy movie. I'll go really quick, but it's from 1982. Tommy Lee Wallace is the director of it. It's starring Tom Atkins, who, of course, is in A Crazy Thing, a crazy amount of movies. Of course, Night of the Creeps was the big horror movie in the 80s. Basic gimmick on it is that there is a crazy Irish guy who owns a toy factory, and he's making all these masks, and they're big hot sellers. They're running for commercials for him for Halloween, and that on Halloween night, he's going to use the mask to kill all the kids that live in the town. And it's a pretty crazy movie. The movie itself is just wacky because Tom Atkins is the main guy. He's playing a doctor, but he goes to investigate. It doesn't matter what Tom Atkins plays in a movie. He's basically investigating something, no matter what he's in. But he goes to investigate, and he's like a really crummy guy. He's like hits on all the nurses and things that are there. He's sleeps with this really young girl at the beginning of the movie. He really has no good qualities, but he's the one that's going after the bad guys. And, you know, the whole movie, he's getting closer. He kind of figures out the gimmick on these masks. And then, you know, you find out that the masks are being powered by a rock from Stonehenge. Somehow the toy maker has harnessed the power of Stonehenge to be able to kill everybody via mask. And it's crazy that they just made this movie. You know, it's Halloween 3. It is the sequel to Halloween 2. All the producers had this nutty idea that they could make it, you know, more of a, you know, like they could do Halloween movies every year and just have something different that wasn't about Michael Myers. And, you know, and it was in the 80s, so it wasn't like now with YouTube where you can see previews of everything, you know exactly what you're going into. People went in there expecting to see Michael Myers, and they didn't see Michael Myers. So, you know, I think the movie's pretty decent. It's kind of universally shit on because of just, you know, people felt they had the wool pulled over their eyes. So, you know, about the moment they realized Michael Myers was never going to show up, they just hated it. But, you know, it's really, really weird and deranged, but it's, you know, there's something to like about it for sure.
Yeah, that movie is just so fucking odd. I mean, you have these alien wizards who bleed mustard, who have taken a piece of Stonehenge to put in a Halloween mask to blow up children's heads on Halloween. And, you know, when they do the mask reveal and the kid's head gets eaten by the creatures, it's pretty fucking horrendous. You know, I mean, it's pretty terrifying, but just such a weird movie, but does have a certain charm. What was the well-done percentage?
I went with a 60% well done. I thought, you know, if you can, you know, now just watching it, knowing it's not about Michael Myers, like, you know, you can enjoy it. I went with 60 because it's just, it's so weird. There's plenty of things wrong with it, but it's so weird, it's enjoyable. And something else, too, man, like, if you're watching that in the theater, I'm just imagining, you might still think it's a Halloween movie because there's these, like, creeper guys who are kind of, like, stalking everybody, and they're the aliens, and one of them's actually played by Dick Warlock, who was Michael Myers in Halloween 2. And it shows them from
And they
the
show
same,
Halloween
like,
1 on the television during the movie.
And it shows, like, the same over-the-shoulder Michael Myers stalking shot, it's just he's not wearing a mask. So it could have been, like, a good half an hour if you're sitting in the theater before you finally realize, holy shit, man, this is not about Michael Myers. So I think that's why people hate it so much. But, you know, like I said, 60%, I enjoy it. It's now a classic to me, but for, you know, just different reasons.
Absolutely. And there you have it, fans, the taste of what the Muji Movie Minute will bring. If you have not seen these films, we'll try to give you a rough outline so we don't spoil everything for you. But I would highly recommend all three that we viewed tonight if you love horror films. And if you're listening to this show, then you probably should love horror films. Otherwise, why the fuck are you here? But in any event, Muji, thank you for joining us again this week on our debut for Georgia Wrestling History Radio, my friend.
Yeah, see you next week.
See ya. Okay, we're going to go pay some bills for just a moment while I go get the Ouija board, get the candles lit, and all of the incantations prepared for our Halloween seance as it's coming live at you here in just a moment.
You're listening to the GWH Radio Network, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Your show will return momentarily. Did you know that there's more to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com than just Georgia wrestling history? It's true. Not only can you find documented cards, results, and more on pro wrestling in Georgia dating back to the 19th century, but you can also find out where live and local wrestling may be near you today, and not just in Georgia. We also cover the southeastern regional scene in Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, and the Carolinas. You want more? Well, we also cover the major worldwide wrestling and MMA promotions as well, including WWE, UFC, TNA, Strikeforce, Ring of Honor, and more. And so do our radio shows. You can find all of this, and maybe a bit more, by logging on to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we are capturing the legends of yesterday and covering the stars of today. GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
And there you have it. Some commercial time for Georgia Wrestling History. You want to check them out on the web at www.georgiawrestlinghistory.com. They've got you covered on all sides when it comes to professional wrestling and a fine array of podcasts in their network covering many aspects of professional wrestling with fans. I hope your lights are out because I want you to repeat these incantations with me, as it is now time for our Halloween night, the Samhain Seance. Los Summoner Nostrasna, Los Summoner Nostisna, Langsnisnasna. Non Satanas Magista. I call forth to you, spirits of the damned and all other realms. Join us here for this midnight black mass on Halloween night. I call you to join us, all spirits, oh spirits. Spirits, oh spirits. Oh, wait a minute. I believe we have some activity, fans. Oh, whoa. We do have some activity. Who has joined us in this room tonight, great spirits?
Steve Jobs. You know, I invented the fucking iPhone.
What, Steve Jobs from Apple?
No. Steve Jobs, the jizz mopper from your local adult theater. Of course I'm Steve Jobs from Apple, you fucking moron.
Oh, we have a sense of humor here on the Midnight Black Mass, and this is our debut on the Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network. We're going to try to keep things civil. Mr. Jobs, where might you be reaching us from through this portal of the interdimensions?
I'm calling from heaven.
Wait, really? You know, to get that rich, I figured you had to be one of us.
Nope. God loves capitalism.
Okay, well, since I never plan on stepping foot in that place, how is it?
It's shit.
What? Hey, what do you mean? Not exactly my type of folks, as you might comprehend, but, you know, your scriptures say that the streets are paved with gold, life is eternal, and no one goes hungry.
Yeah, it's like they paved it with fucking Stone Age gold. You know, if I want to find the best restaurant in town, okay, I have to ask around. If I want to listen to music, I got to find it on an 8-track. They don't even have CDs here yet. And when a hot little thing gives me her number, guess what? I have to remember the goddamn thing.
What? Well, as you said, you're Steve fucking Jobs or some such sorts. Why don't you introduce the management, so to speak, in that realm to your amazing technology?
Don't you think I've thought of that, dipshit? Is it a surprise that they aren't exactly open-minded around here? You know, heaven fears change.
Well, sorry to hear things aren't going so well for you up there, Steve.
Well, aren't you just full of sorries? And by the way, how the hell did you get a hold of me in the first place?
We are conducting a ritualized seance, sir. I am an ordained minister of the occult, and I used a Ouija board.
Oh, let me guess. On your iPad?
No, Steve. On an actual Ouija board.
Oh, fucking Christ. Don't you know there's an app for that?
Okay, Steve. I think we've shared enough time together.
One more thing before I go. Hey, Bill Gates, you know that bump on your backside? The doctor's diagnosis was wrong. That's not a mole. See you next year.
Okay. Yeah, move that button over there. Yeah, okay. Whew, Steve Jobs is gone. He was about to irritate me to death. Spirit, oh spirit, please join us live through these airwaves. Manifest yourself in the white noise. Whom have we summoned? Who has summoned her to the warmonger? The bringer of pestilence! Oh, shit! Okay, yeah, get out of there! Get out of there! Thank you! Whew! Sometimes black magic, folks. A little unpredictable. It's okay. I believe we have dispatched ourselves from Ur-2, are we sure? Yes, okay. Okay, next spirit. We're going to try to do one more here. Spirit, oh spirit, I call upon ye. Manifest thine self in the white noise and speak to us when the night where our realms cross over. Oh, who do we have here? Do we have someone on the line? Yes.
This is Vince McMahon. Vincent J. McMahon.
Whoa, wait a minute. Are you telling me the man that brought professional wrestling to Madison Square Garden?
Yes, sir, that would be me. I'm doing just fine here on Halloween. I float around, scare a few kids, you know. But so goes life as a spirit. But, you know, you're on the world, and sometimes I just can't keep up with things. How is my son, Vinny Jr., doing? You said you knew about professional wrestling.
Yes, I have been involved in professional wrestling for many years. Vince McMahon Jr. is doing phenomenal with what he's got going in New York up there, Stamford, Connecticut. They're a worldwide company. They dominate the globe. They're one of the only major wrestling organizations left.
Wow, really? That's impressive. I bet the wrestling must be phenomenal.
Well, I'm sorry to say, sir, they actually don't call it wrestling anymore. Now it's called entertainment. They actually changed it from the WWF to World Wrestling Entertainment.
Well, I guess wrestling can be entertaining. A lot of semantics. What about Bruno, my other son? I haven't seen him in the afterlives. I assume he's still down there. Is he still help steering the ship?
Well, unfortunately, sir, your son and Mr. San Martino, they no longer speak to one another.
That's pretty unfortunate. What about Superstar, the Tower of Power, Too Sweet to Be Sour? Tell me, him and Vinny are standing tall together.
Unfortunately, Superstar is not doing well. He's wheelchair-bound, and he also hates Vince.
Well, New England Clam Chowder. What about the Hogan Kid? Now, he was the next big thing. Did he help Vinny?
Actually, they took over wrestling together. They sold out the Pontiac Silverdome with 93,000 people. Created rock and wrestling, and really launched everything into the stratosphere for professional wrestling. But the thing about that is they kind of now have stabbed one another in the back a time or two.
Well, that is unfortunate. That is really unfortunate. I just don't quite understand what would happen there with Hogan and all of those. But you know, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Well, you know, it is what it is. Well, who's running the company now anyway? That would be his daughter, Stephanie. Wait, my granddaughter? A woman? Yes, sir. Nowadays, women are seen as equals to men in the workplace. Oh, well, I guess times finally changed. So is she doing a good job? Depends on your taste, I suppose. I worked for them a time or two. They treated me very well, but as far as a fan, I haven't really watched in quite some time. Well, what's wrong with it? About the wrestling, anyway, they still have the classic hour-long bouts, the championship matches, right? No, sir. A match actually averages about 6 minutes now. Well, what about the classic bloodbaths and cage matches? You know, in the old days, we always said red turned to green. Yeah, well, due to the PG rating and public stock status, they actually don't allow them to bleed anymore. Well, what happens when somebody gets punched in the nose? Aren't people going to think it's fake? Well, Vince kind of told the entire news media that it was fake. What the fuck? Whoa! No blood. Short matches. A woman's in charge, and they told everybody it was their work? It was a work? Who in the right mind's booking this shit? There's no such thing as a booker anymore, sir. They have a team of writers, mainly people who write sitcoms. Sitcoms? Like MASH and My Three Sons? Great, so. Well, pardon me before I miss my window, but I know whose house I'm haunting this Halloween. I think I can make it to Stanford before midnight. If I'm lucky, I'll scare his ass to death so I can put my boot in it. My dad was right. I should have stuck with boxing. That sucks too now. Derek, stop playing with that Ouija board, kid. Okay. Oh. Whew. Never know what's going to happen on Halloween. Still pretty honored to have the presence of an entity, we'll say, for copyright reasons, and we don't want to get sued, certainly, but claiming to be Vince McMahon Sr. Very interesting, and so we've got our guest on the line, actress Wendy Barlow, also known to professional wrestling fans as Fifi the Maid from Flair for the Gold. We're going to talk in-depth about her acting and wrestling career. Well, wait a minute. The seance is not quite yet over, folks. I do believe we have another guest. Wait a minute. May I ask whom is on the line? That'd be Jack the Snake. Oh, I'm sorry to hear. Fans, I think we have some breaking news. Jake, where are you calling from? Heaven, brother. You too? Yes, sir. Heaven on earth. Just slithering down by the shore. The Jersey Shore? No, brother, the Gulf Shore. I'm down here at the Jiggle Hut. $20 get you entrance fee, a lap dance, and all you can eat shrimp. Wait, so you're not dead? Nope, alive and well. Then how are you able to access this portal? When you're slithering on the line between life and death, you get to know people on both sides. Oh, damn it, Jake, have some respect. You're not allowed to call this line until you die. Don't touch the stake. Oh, for crying out loud. Fans, no one claiming that actually was Jake the Snake Roberts, but someone apparently claiming to be here on the seance. Fans, we're going to get to our guest, Wendy Barlow, Fifi the Maid, in just one moment. We'll be right back with you.
Hallows Eve, the moon is full.
fans, at this time, please welcome the lovely Wendy Barlow, a.k.a. Fifi, the maid known to professional wrestling fans the world over. Welcome to the Midnight Black Mass.
Woohoo! Hello! Bonjour! Or should I say bonsoir? I can't do it!
They're doing very well. Happy Halloween to you and yours.
Thank you. Yes, I'm out here passing out candy to all the ghouls and the witches, and it's pretty cool. I mean, it's packed solid to this weekend because it's so nice out. It's perfect weather.
That is outstanding. And if I can ask, just for the viewers' curiosity, what sort of costume are you wearing?
You know, it's funny. I just did a charity event for Children's Healthcare here in Atlanta, a huge haunted house. And I actually dressed as a skeleton, so I have the easy way out because I had to put the whole thing on with a mask, and I don't have to do any hair and makeup, so it was perfect for me. Perfect.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not wearing the French. I'm no French maid outfit for Halloween. No.
Hey, I understand. You know, when my role as a manager, I get all painted up and have a great deal of wardrobe to go through, and so on Halloween, I always try to do something else.
Right, do something different. Well, you know, I've been making so many appearances in the French maid outfit, I just thought I'd try something different for Halloween.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of the French maid outfit, let's go ahead and talk about that, that we are here on the Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network, so it's only appropriate to begin the conversation with relationship to the industry. How did you get into professional wrestling? What drew you to the sport?
Oh, my gosh. You know, let me just tell you, it was just by chance. I mean, I was studying overseas in Paris to be an international lawyer. I come flying through Atlanta, and someone tells me that they're auditioning for someone who speaks French for the show. And I said, oh, well, let me go see what this is all about. I go in there, and there's Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, a few other people. Sting was there, and they're just, you know, looking through my portfolio and asking me questions that really didn't pertain to wrestling, but they were just, you know, really funny questions. And next thing you know, they pretty much hired me on the spot. They just, very crazy. They said, okay, we need you to go see the seamstress. You know, we got to get this going, and we're ready to start. And I'm like, let me get the contract first. So we got that pretty, you know, together pretty fast, and the rest is history.
And a big opportunity to debut in right there with the man himself styling and profiling with Nature Boy Ric Flair. Were you nervous?
You know, that's funny you say that because I got to tell you, I know the fans are going to be mad at me, but I did not grow up watching a lot of wrestling. So I was like, that was one of the questions they asked me. They said, do you know who we all are? And I looked at them all and I said, no, not really. They're like, we love her. They wanted somebody who had no clue what the whole thing was about. So, I mean, that's how crazy it was. I mean, I had known of wrestling, but I didn't know all the characters and all the people involved. And so, actually, my grandmother and all of them were the ones that filled me in on everything because they knew everything. So it was just a flip. They actually wanted an outsider to come in. They did. It was really perfect timing for everything, and so I did not go back to Paris. I actually was hired on, and at the time, Jane Fonda and, you know, Ted Turner were getting married, and they were wanting to make the show more family, probably because of Jane, so they were really into the family thing. So they said that there was a big memo sent down. It says, French maid, okay, but the costume has got to be conservative. So for everyone out there who's ever seen me in this French maid outfit, you know that it is probably the biggest French maid outfit you've ever seen in your life. It's nothing small about it.
Yes,
so it's a
Turner
unique
standards
costume.
And practices. Infamous there.
Yes, yeah. It was definitely a different feel and a different vibe. So then finally, it was like probably halfway through, as I'm doing the French maid and the flare for the golds, they said, let's get her in a bikini and let's do a photo shoot and a poster with her in the bikini because, you know, Chick really wanted that. And so they had a fight for that, and we did it, and it's great. And next thing you know, I'm walking out in gowns and everything instead of the French maid outfit, and they just wanted that on the show, and then me in the ring and, like, you know, tight dresses and stuff. So it started to change a little.
And how long did you remain with World Championship Wrestling after that?
I was with them, because I have to think, into 94. So I ended up leaving. I was actually, you know, a lot of people don't know this either, but I was actually going to be working an angle with Sting, and we were getting ready to do something, and where I would have gone and left Rick and gone on with Sting and done a few things, and it would probably been a big battle and whatever. But I actually left to pursue some other stuff. So I decided to take a break, and it was a shocker. And that was some controversy, and they decided at that point, that's it. There's no more Fifi. I mean, to me personally, I think that's great, because now I've been the only Fifi they've ever had. They never decided to continue on. But and I think part of it is Rick. He did not want anybody else to take my character. He's very good about liking things to stay a certain way. Like, this is it, and, you know, this is the group. We want to keep it that way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And now let's talk about the Nature Boy himself, just the person for a moment. Yeah, I have met the Nature Boy a couple times at various WWE extra things, that, you know, just very brief encounters. But let me tell you, from those brief encounters, he very much is the Nature Boy when the camera's on and when the camera's off, as all great personas in wrestling are. Can you take us inside a little bit to the journey of your time in knowing Ric Flair, the person?
Woo! Let me say that he is definitely the man. He is definitely the Nature Boy. He lives the life. He is the person. He also has a heart of gold, and he has he's a brilliant man. I mean, a lot of people probably don't give him the credit he deserves. I mean, that is one person that will go down in history as probably one of the greatest wrestlers of all time for everything he's ever done, including the business side of it. Now, you know, he's had a few marriages that have taken a toll on him in certain ways. But other than that, he's had beautiful children. He loves his family. He loves his kids. I have a lot of respect for the man, you know. He was great to me. He always worked on trying to make it so that I would have more opportunities in wrestling. And he even said, I remember on one of his interviews, he said he wished that I would have been around more and stayed and been offered more things. So he really was a good pusher for talent. And he worked with a lot of the guys. I mean, you know, everybody gets jealous, you know, from time to time from people on top. But I never saw him not try to, you know, push people. When he was working matches with them, he tried to make them, you know, really feel special and work with them, you know. So it was great.
Very interesting, yes. You know, my opinion, I don't really drop my wrestling opinions on here a lot because I'm a professional, trying to keep it that way. But, you know, can't deny, in my opinion, and many, many others, the greatest of all time, and also one of the greatest personas of all time in professional wrestling. But, you know, when you run into the WCW and you moved on to do other things, what was going through your mind? Where were you in your life? And did you think you wanted to pursue wrestling at all anymore? Or did that come up again later? Would you take us through that portion of your life?
Well, I went off. You would be surprised. I actually went off and wanted to pursue one of my degrees because I had a few degrees, and I wanted to be a high school teacher. You wouldn't know that, but, yeah, Fifi wanted to teach high school. And at first, it was a little difficult. I taught at a private high school. A little difficult because the kids would always say, hey, I've seen you on TV, or I know. And then I'm like, no, you didn't. No, it's not me. And then they say, oh, no, Lex Luger told me that it was you, or somebody said, you know, like, so some of the wrestlers would rat me out. And, it was all good. But so it was a little difficult at some times when they did recognize me. But I truly enjoy working with children. So that was a passion of mine. And it was just a few years ago that I had actually stumbled across something, or one of my friends was looking at a Fifi thing that was a posting on the internet. And it's really weird, but over all the years, even though I kept in touch with Rick and we were always friends, I never went on the internet to look up Fifi. And somebody said to me, you know, they don't even have you down as the right name, that you were Fifi. I'm like, what? So I went on there, and so I'm like, I immediately went and corrected it. Next thing you know, it spiraled out of control, and people started contacting me, and, oh, we want to get you out here. We want to work. Oh, my God, you've been away for so long. No one knew what happened to you. This is crazy. And so it's been a whirlwind, and I've been back out there, and, you know, with Rick's blessing and full support, he's been, you know, coaching me through and, you know, also letting me know that, you know, it's great that I'm back out there. So it's been nice. It's been really good. I've been to a couple conventions, and I'll go to Wrestle Reunion in L.A. in January, and I love to meet the fans. I love to see everybody and all the memories, and they'll come up and show me things that I don't even remember, and they have pictures from way back that I've never even seen, so it's just been great.
Yeah, the conventions are really an experience, and I'm very happy that those have started to pop up for wrestling to give folks sort of a second life out on this convention circuit. I do Dragon Con every year, and I'm part of the wrestling festivities there, and the NWA Wrestling Fan Fest I was attended. Gypsy Joe is my uncle, and I was there helping him with his affairs. And so, you know, these things, just the wrestling fans are so appreciative. They really are.
Yeah.
You know, they remember stuff that just blows your mind.
Oh, yeah.
And that's pretty much where you've been, out on the road now, doing conventions and other things.
Well, and I also did, I've been doing, I've done a couple movies and TV stuff, and I was a zombie on the first episode of The Walking Dead. You'd have to see, you'd have to rewind and look, and of course recognize me with all the prosthetics on, but it was great. I have a lot of friends on the show. I was in the Joneses. I just finished a movie. I did a part with Billy Bob Thornton and Robert Duvall, and that one will be out next year, Jay Mansfield's Car. Let's see. I've just been, you know, it was when opportunities arise, I go after them, and it just, like, there's a lot of times where I've just been very lucky. Things have fallen into my lap at the right time, and I feel very blessed. So, yes, very happy with my life. So, feeling good.
That's outstanding. Well, it is Halloween, and here on the Midnight Black Mass, we cover all entertainment on the fringe, and you said the magic word there just a few moments ago. One of the hottest shows on television, The Walking Dead.
Yes.
And your experience in it, I want to know as much as you can tell us about that experience. I would love to hear it.
Yeah, as much as I can tell based on the contracts they make you sign, where you sign your life away, that you'll never discuss anything. But I can tell you, I mean, basically, it was an amazing experience. So I worked on the first season as well. And the people there, just from the makeup people to everybody, they are just so awesome. And it's like, it's a real close family set. They don't let a lot of people in. They like to keep it very private, probably because they don't want spoilers and things to get out there. But just very professional, just incredible to watch them work their magic and get these zombies together, and to see them get out there and do their stuff. It's like, wow. I mean, locations, and you know what, it's the best is when they start in the summertime here in Atlanta, and literally as I watch it, I understand what the zombies are going through. They don't have to, even though we go through a little zombie school, you don't have to go through zombie school because it's like 100 degrees. They have you in the heat all day long. You barely are drinking water. You're walking like you're going to die, you know? It's like you're just really dying anyways. You feel like you're going to fall over. So, you know, and there have been a few that have passed out and stuff. But you know what? It gives a great effect.
And what about the makeup that you went through? I've heard, in interviews from other folks on the cast of the show, just that the zombie makeup is quite an arduous process.
Oh yeah, a couple hours to up to 3 hours doing putting the makeup on, but just watching the transformation, it blows your mind. It's like you can't recognize yourself. Like on my fan page, which I have a fan page, if you're on Facebook, it's Fifi from Wrestling. You can go on there and you can check out things. And I do post some stuff from the movies and other things I've done. But I tell people, oh, yeah, I'm a zombie in the first episode, and they're going to look for me, but you'll never recognize me in a million years because you might see my long hair. But they transform you into this dead person that is like, whoa. But it takes about 2.5, 3 hours. and then getting it off after. That's a good challenge, you know. So that's why it takes, it's a very long day when you become a zombie. It's a very long day, but it's well worth it. I mean, you mark that off the bucket list, zombie, you know. Definitely,
yeah,
great.
That's legendary.
I'm working on, you know, I was doing that haunted house with a friend of mine in her home, and we got the crew from the Vampire Diaries to go over there. So then I got a hold of the Walking Dead people, and I said, listen, we got the Vampire Diaries people over here. What are you guys going to do? And they said next year they're going to come, and we'll try to get both of them there together and do some fun stuff. So it's cool to see all these shows being shot in Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta is booming from TV to movies to everything. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really has become a new media city where, you know, in the days past, everybody would always say, if you want to do anything entertainment-related, you got to go to L.A. You got to
right.
go to L.A. But
exactly.
Not necessarily
and,
the case now.
The funniest thing of all is I'm from L.A., so my friends used to laugh at me. They said, you went to Atlanta and you're on TV? That's crazy. And I'm like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, everything's over here. You know, a lot of my friends who are working these sets and these movies have come from L.A., and they've come over here, and it's like, it's amazing. It's just people are all coming to Atlanta. Studios are popping up everywhere. So great for us over here, and I don't have to move home.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Fact, The Walking Dead, you can catch it every Sunday night at 9 o'clock on AMC Network. Go to amctv.com for more information about that. Fifi, I know you're out on the road, and you know what's really funny is I didn't even know this until I was looking over my itinerary for upcoming dates that I had, and I see this Saturday night I am booked in Blue Ridge, Georgia for Southern Championship Wrestling, and I do believe we are facing one another. If the promoter told me correctly, you will be managing Terry Lawler against Sean Tempers, who I will be managing. So, had a great time tonight, but going to be all business when we get out there.
That's right. Yeah, great time tonight, but watch yourself, because I still have my duster. You might be in trouble. No, that's going to be awesome. I didn't know you were going to – this is so cool. You know, I've been booked so much that I sometimes forget to look at all the posters and see what's going on. I just have a calendar and go, okay, I'm going to be there. But it's going to be a great cause, too. It's an empty stocking cause. So very cool. And it's going to be a great event. So I'm very excited about being there and being part of it. You know, the Speaker of the House of Georgia is going to be there.
Uh-oh, I better watch out. They might be looking
better
for
watch
me.
Yourself. That's right. It's going to be a powerful night. Big time.
That's going to be great. Deep Southern Championship Wrestling fans in Blue Ridge, Georgia, this Saturday night at 7 o'clock p.m. You want to be there. Fifi, any final thoughts, anything you want to plug, get out of the way before we wrap up this edition of the show?
No, just, you know, everybody go to Fifi from Wrestling on Facebook, and you'll see all my updates and everything I've been up to, and you guys will be very surprised. I mean, every time I meet someone says, oh, my God, you haven't aged at all. I'm like, no, sure haven't. So life is good, and just I can't wait to meet all the fans that are out there and get back into everything that's going on. So I appreciate everything.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight. You've been a magnificent guest, and I look
forward to
seeing you Saturday night.
Great. Yay. Happy Halloween.
Thank you, Fifi. Goodbye.
Okay. Bye.
And there you have it. Fifi the maid, Wendy Barlow the actress. Very interesting woman. And we're going to be across the ring from one another this Saturday night. So we're all friends tonight. But, you know, I did. Got the big reunion with Sean Tempers. I want to look good, Fifi, so I'm sorry. We're going to do what we got to do, but I better watch that duster. Fans, this has been our debut edition of the Midnight Black Mass on Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network. I hope your soul was touched. We had a seance. We brought spirits from the dead onto the air. We talked to Muji for the Muji Movie Minute, discussing three great horror films, and had a fantastic interview with Wendy Fifi the Maid Barlow. Fans, we'll be back starting on Friday nights at midnight. This is a special debut edition of the show as we are here tonight, just as it's Halloween, it was only appropriate that the Reverend debuted on Georgia Wrestling History Radio on the night of the devil. Happy Halloween!
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, the latest news on pro wrestling and MMA, and more. GWH thanks you for your support.